call on you now. Thank you again for your willingness to come and serve.
Good morning. It's been good to be with you here this morning. Come, let us worship and adore Him. Don't you long for the day when you'll do that in the celestial city? Wow. There'll be a few more people than here this morning. But the numbers don't matter to God. It's the worship that He's interested in. And so we have come and brought Him our worship and pray that it was acceptable in His sight. Let's pray as we look into the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to know You. So often our hearts get troubled and distraught and discouraged from what we see going on. Lord, we thank You that all is well in heaven. All is at peace in the presence of Christ. All is fullness of joy at Your right hand. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful that the storms may rage and take our eyes off of You. We're thankful that You are in the boat with us and that any time You can calm the storm and say, peace, be still. And so, Father, I pray You would say, peace, be still to our hearts this morning. I pray that Your Word would have a powerful effect upon our lives, that Your Spirit would minister to us and open up truths to us, and that we might behold Christ, that He might be high and lifted up this morning. We do pray for our nation. We do pray, O God, that You'll have mercy. We know at any time You could say to this pandemic, to this plague, be still, and it would stop. We thank You that You have a purpose for all things, and that You're working Your purpose for Your glory and our good. So we rejoice in that, but we do pray for wisdom. We do pray for our leaders. We do pray that You would forgive our land of our unfaithfulness, of our idolatries, of our immoralities, of things that do not honor and please You. But we pray here this morning that Christ would be exalted. And we just thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to talk to you this morning about the topic of hope. Webster's dictionary from the 1800s says hope is a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. Hope always implies the expectation of obtaining the good desired. Paul said that there were three great elements: faith, hope, and love. One day, we won't need faith anymore because we will see the unseen. We will be in the presence of Christ. Faith will no longer be needed. One day, we will no longer need hope anymore because hope will be realized. Our desire and our expectation will be realized when we see Him and become like Him and see Christ in all His glory in a place called heaven. We long for that, but there will always be love because God is love. But I want to speak to you this day about hope. I was hoping we would sing 507, but that's okay. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I want to remind you of the words of this great song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the other verses go, when darkness veils His lovely face. And sometimes darkness does veil the face of Christ. Sometimes it seems like God is so far away. Sometimes we get discouraged and distraught. When darkness veils His lovely face, what does the writer say back in the 1700s? I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What is your hope based on this morning? What is your foundation this morning? And I want to present to you Christ, our hope. I've been reading a book that was penned by Henry Scoggle. I was reading another book by John Piper, and he said this book really influenced him to write a book called The Pleasures of God. And in it, John Piper also said it was an influential book that I think it was Charles Wesley gave to George Whitefield. I don't know if you've heard of George Whitefield, one of the greatest evangelists in this country that this country has ever seen during the times of revival. George Whitefield apparently was very discouraged and distraught in his life at the time, and so George Whitefield was given this book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And he read it, and it revolutionized his life. And so I thought, I need to read that book. It was just a series of letters that Henry Scoggle wrote to someone, encourage a brother in the Lord. And so I got it for free on the Kindle, and so it didn't cost me too much. But it's hard to read, written way back, I think, in the 1700s, perhaps 1600s, but it's got some great truths about the life of God in the soul of man and how, what is the Christian life? But God in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he said there's four branches of the life of God that comes in: humility, holiness, purity, and charity. Four characteristics, primary characteristics of God. We often say there are two different kinds of people in the world. There are those that believe on Jesus, and there are those who have not yet believed on Jesus. But can we look at it in a different way? There are two different kinds of people in the world. One person has Christ living in them. The other person does not, or has not yet come to have Christ living in them. And so I want to present to you Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And I want to start by just rifling through a lot of different passages in the Old and New Testament that talk about hope. First of all, and some of them I'll comment on, but the Word of God is the best commentary of the Word of God. But listen to these verses on hope and let them encourage you. I don't know where I find you this morning. They say that, did a survey in June, that 1 in 4 young people from the ages of, I believe it was 18 to 25, has considered suicide this year. 1 in 4. People are getting discouraged. People are losing hope and confidence and purpose in living. And so when you lose hope, you want to end life because it's not worth living anymore. But as a believer of Christ, we have so much hope. We have so much to live for, no matter what this world brings to us. And so listen to some of these passages. Turn with me if you can follow along. First of all, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9, we will find that hope brings us rest. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. This was a passage that I believe it was Peter quoted about the Lord Jesus when He passed away and was in the tomb. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, says the next verse. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But here we see that when we have hope, we have rest. Over a few pages in Psalm 31, verse 24, it says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Do you need courage this morning? Do you need strength this morning? You will find that you will get it and have it if you're hoping in what? In the Lord. If you're putting your hope and your trust in this world, if you're putting your hope and trust in the government, if you're putting your hope and trust in your riches, you will not find courage or strength. But if you're putting your hope and trust in Christ, you will find yourself to have good courage and your heart to be strengthened. Psalm 39, verse 7 says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Psalm 42, the writer of this psalm was discouraged. And he talks to himself about his discouragement. And that happens to believers at times, does it not? Sure. We sometimes can get discouraged. But what do we do with our discouragement? And here, the psalmist in verse 5 says, why art thou down, or why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? His soul is troubled like the sea, and he's disquieted within him, not at rest. What does he say to himself? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hope not only helps us when we're discouraged by taking our eyes off of that which discourages us, but placing them on to something that encourages us, the hope that we have in Christ. But it also will help us in our health. You know, your thoughts are very powerful. They can change your health. You can go into severe depression by thinking on the wrong things. There is some elements of truth to the power of positive thinking. So he's thinking to himself, put your hope in God, soul. Don't be so discouraged. God's not finished with us yet. God's is working in this world. Someone came into my house the other day and said, you know, I think it looks like Satan is more powerful than God. And I thought, oh, you can't say that. So I thought, that's just blasphemy. But I think he was saying it appears in this world that Satan is having more of an effect in this world than God is. But I'm telling you, God is working in the secret places. God is working in places in this world, saving people and redeeming people and encouraging people, as I hope he's doing to your heart right now. And then Psalm 43, verse 5, he says it again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 71, verse 5. Psalm 71, verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Don't wait until you're older to enter into this walk of hoping in him. He's the trust from my youth. Young people, you have great things to live for. You have a great hope today. He says, thou art my hope, O Lord God. And then in Psalm 78, verse 7, he says it this way, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment. We are to set our hope in God and not forget what God has done in our life. Not forget what God has done in the lives of those in the Scriptures. For what he has done before, he can do again. Don't forget what God has brought you out of. Don't forget his promises. You see, hope is based on the promises of God. And we've got incredible promises if we are believers in Jesus Christ today. Incredible promises that he has given. And so we are not to forget. Then that great Psalm 119. He says it in several places. Psalm 119, verse 81. He says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. He hopes in the word of God. He has trust in the word of the living God, that what God says, what God has promised, he will bring it to pass. But it takes patience. It takes waiting. It takes believing. And then in Psalm 119, verse 114, he says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in the word. Remember, it's a hope. Not a, oh, I hope this will happen, but it's a solid hope with a sure expectation that it will come to pass. Then he says in Psalm 130, these are just some of the ones that I picked out. Psalm 130, verse 5 to 7, he says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And then there's this great passage in the book of Lamentations, found just after the book of Jeremiah. That's a bigger one that you can find. Written by Jeremiah. Actually, some say it was part of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet because he saw what was going on in his country and it moved him to tears. And his eyes were like rivers of water at different times. And he saw what God was doing, and it was a difficult thing that he was doing. And in Lamentations chapter 3, he came to the point where he said, and I said my strength in verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from God. Oh, he was doing such hard things. It seemed that God was gone. He cried and he shouted. He shouted, but God shut up his prayer. He'd enclosed his way and talked about his bitterness that was in his life and in his country, and his teeth were broken and his covered him with ashes, and his prosperity was gone. And then he said, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished. So what did he do to get out of that situation? What did he do that turned? He said, verse 19 and following, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What did he recall to his mind? The following verses. Listen to them. You know them. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what he started musing on. That's what he started thinking on. That's what he started hoping in. The mercy and the faithfulness of God. And then he said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And the worse things get, the more I hope for that. And the more I long for that. Not because I want to escape reality, but because I want God to come and Christ to be exalted and given the proper position that he has. You know, I listened to a video the other day that my brother sent me. You know how bad it's getting in America? In a place in Florida, a mayor called his council meeting together. And he said, now we're going to have an invocation, and then we're going to recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And then the mayor and several other people left, and so up came this one that was going to give the invocation. And he started by giving the invocation to Mother Earth, and to Satan, and to Allah, and to Buddha, and to Thor, and to Zeus, and every other god. He was from a Satanist church, giving an invocation. No wonder the mayor left and came back in after he was done. But isn't that sad? I would imagine, because of political correctness, they had a different one from every church at a different day when they met. And it was his turn. It was terrible. It was just awful that we've come to that point where we pray to these gods that are no gods at all. You see, I have great hope that one day Christ is coming again. And every knee will bow, and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I have great hope. And so Jeremiah, though he was so discouraged and his hope perished within him, he recalled something. He changed his thinking to think on the goodness of God, to think on the faithfulness of God, to think on his mercies that were new every morning. And he said, it's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. Then we turn to the New Testament in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. These verses are just encouraging us to never lose hope in this world. God is still alive. God is still on his throne. God is still merciful. God is still drawing people to himself, even in this time of pandemic and plague that has come to our world. And I think it's just going to get worse before it gets better. If the book says anything, it says it's going to get worse before it gets better. But we come to Romans chapter 5, and Abraham was given a promise by God, and it says in verse 18 of chapter 4, actually, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to the which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she wasn't too far behind him. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. And he said in the next chapter, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in what? Hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory then in tribulations, knowing also that tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God increases our hope by the presence of His Spirit in our life. We have great hope. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for we are saved by hope. And hope, you remember, is based on the promises of God, that He says, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Believe on me, and I will give you eternal life. Our hope is built on those promises. We are saved by hope. But hope that's seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We have a hope that is going to be realized. We have a hope that is coming. We have these great and precious promises. And later on in chapter 12 of this book, he said we are to rejoice in this hope. This hope ought to produce a rejoicing in us. Not only does it produce rest and courage and strength and lifts up the downcast and the troubled in heart, not only does it give us something to live for, we're to set our hope in God. Not only does it restore the faint-hearted and restore those that have lost hope, but we are to rejoice in this hope. Rejoicing in hope, chapter 12, verse 12. And then he ends the book in chapter 15, verse 13. We're almost getting to the end. He says, now the God of hope. He's a God of hope. Never lose sight that He is a God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the what? Power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Spirit will cause you to abound in hope. Now, there are times when you're discouraged, like the psalmist was. But oh, don't stay there. You might be there for a time. Jesus was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. That's part of life. But Jesus also was a man that rejoiced and was full of joy. He was anointed with joy more than others, it says in Hebrews, because he obeyed his heavenly Father. This hope as well is to be part of our defense. It's the helmet. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells that we're to put on the helmet of salvation, where Thessalonians says, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That we put on is the hope of salvation that is to affect our mind and our thinking. And then I love what it says in Titus, right after Timothy, little book, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We are looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This hope that we have is to be an anchor of the soul. Says that in Hebrews chapter 16. It is a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Your faith and hope are to be in God. And John says it this way in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, it talks about the coming of Christ and says this. Beloved, we are now the sons of God, yet it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You see, we are on a journey to become more and more in this life like Christ. We are not to be conformed to this world or to become like the world. We are to be transformed by the Word of God, by the renewing of our mind, to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And when will it be done? When we see Him. Because when we see Him, then we shall be like Him. Now, the Mormons teach that they will become gods. It's not what the Bible teaches. There's only one God. We're not going to become gods, but we will become like Him. We'll become like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Everyone that has this hope lived differently in this life until the coming and the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, it says this about hope. Because hope is not just an expectation. Hope is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. He says it this way: to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the riches of the glory of God? The glory of God is all the sum attributes of who He is. Jesus came and displayed the glory of God. He's a mirror image of Him. Because the two are one. Him and the Father and the Spirit, they're all one. And what is the glory, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember what Scoggle wrote? Christianity is about the life of God in the soul of man. Christ either lives in you or He doesn't live in you. There's no middle ground. You either have Christ or you do not have Christ. You have eternal life or the wrath of God abides on you still. Until what? Until the new birth. Until you're born again by the Spirit of God. How does Christ then come into a life? Do you know when God first made man, He made him, He made the case. He made the flesh out of the dust of the earth. And there it sat on the ground. And then it said, God breathed into man and he became what? A living soul. You see, God made man out of two parts or three parts, soul, spirit, and body. And I think He did that back then because He had in mind that there was going to be a time when He would come and live within man. Not just with or beside, but within man. How did He do that? By the coming of the Spirit. By the coming of the Spirit. I'm just beginning almost this exploration of what does it mean to have the life of God in this earthen vessel. Are you kidding me? Why would God stoop so low? How does He do it? You see, you say, I need more patience. You have all the patience you need because God is patience. I need more peace. You have all the peace you need because God is peace. I need more love in my life displayed through me. You have all the love you need because God is in you. What we need is to die to self, that the Spirit of God would live through us. Jesus, one last passage. Jesus said it this way and reminded us in John chapter 14. He wants to dwell in us, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. How does God come to dwell in us. How does it work? Jesus said in John chapter 14, it's just before he was going to be crucified, a few days before, and he gave this great dissertation. And in John chapter 14, he said, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That is another one that will come alongside you, that he may abide with you forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you." You see, at the time he was dwelling with you, disciples. But there was going to come a time when, "and he shall be in you." I don't totally understand it all, and I don't think anybody totally does. But Jesus said, "It's better for me to go away, because then the Spirit of God will come." And so we celebrate that at Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit of God into this world. Wasn't he already here? Yes. But he was going to come now in a new way to indwell people. That's how Christ comes to live within us. That's how the Father comes to live within us. The Spirit of God comes and gives new life to that which is dead. And he comes in to live in us. You see, he wants to live in us and through us. And this is the key of living the Christian life. This is the key of letting the glory of God out of the earthen vessel. It's the presence. The presence of God. The presence of Christ. He says in verse 18, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." How does he do that? By the coming of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of the living God, coming to dwell within our spirit. That's why I think he made us not only flesh and bones, but spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings enclosed in flesh. And one day, the flesh is going to be renewed and glorified and made perfectly holy, perfectly like the Lord Jesus. You see, when the Spirit of God comes, he only does not exalt himself. He'll exalt Christ. And so he comes and takes up his abode, his residence in us. You see, our hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The life of God in the soul. We have great news and great encouragement to be hopeful in this world. We are waiting for the blessed hope, Jesus Christ, the blessed and glorious appearing. Until then, don't lose your hope. Things, I believe, are going to get worse. Don't lose your hope, because the world needs people that can point them the hope. And we have the answer. Not because we're smart, but because God opened our eyes and gives us hope. Dearest God, would you fill us with hope today? Would you fill us with your Spirit today? Would you fill us with your glory today? That the glory of Christ would burst out of these earthen vessels and shine to a world that is dying and desperately needs to hear that there is hope. Not a vaccine, not in a political party, not in smooth sailing and wealth and riches, not in health, but there is hope in God. And so, Lord, would you fill us with that hope today? And take us from this place to shine that hope to someone who desperately needs to know you. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you so much.